So this is the second day of empathic communication, connecting to our heart, connecting with others, connecting to the Krishna consciousness movement, and obeying your authority. Oh, sorry. And listening to whatever sannyasis say, whatever the guru says, and don't question. Yours is not to question why, yours is but to do or die. Okay, so remember that. Okay, we're going to have a little kirtan first. Just a little kirtan because we have limited time today. We only have till 11:45 and Nityananda Pran is going to be doing some exercises and skits or something like that, or discussing about the Ramayana. Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Samhiniti Namande Namaste Saraswati Deve Murakani Pachavane Nivasesha Sunyavati Asacha Desacharane Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Siva Sare Oh Vakta Vrinda Deita Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Siva Sare Gaurabhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna,
na Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Jai Radha, Damodar Radha, Damodar Radha. Jai Radha, Jai Radha, Jai Radha, Jai Radha. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parvatakacharya Osutera Satishi Shimad, His Divine Grace Savaya Chananada Bhaktivananda Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premse Kahoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha. Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivin Nikijai Shishi Radhakrishna Govikavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Kiri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturanam Kijai Jagadavisami Kijai Yamunamai Kijai Shimati Blasi Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindavanam Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One quick announcement from our sponsor.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. I would request the devotees to move forward as much as possible. And also leave the paths on the side, in the center, and on that side also free, so that it's easier for people to get in and get out, and also it's easier and quicker to run the microphones to the different locations in the room. So thank you so much.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Be careful of not pressing it too many times. Okay. You're ready to roll. So, whoops. Okay. You're on. Okay. Welcome. So, Om Ganatya Mirandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Welcome to the un-Krishna conscious, unconscious Krishna conscious movement. And I'll explain what I mean about that when I read this quote, after I read this quote from Prabhupada. This is about compassion, a very short quote from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 21st chapter, 31st verse. Showing compassion to all living entities, you will attain self-realization. Giving assurance of safety to all, you will perceive your own self as well as all the universes in me and myself in you. And that means spiritual perfection. As Krishna says in the sixth chapter of the Gita, text 30, Yomam pashati sarvacha sarvam shamaye pashati tashaham na panashami sachame na panashati. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me is never lost to me, nor am I ever lost to him. And this is compassion to all living entities. And of course, the hardest thing is to show compassion to living entities who are close to you. It's easy to show compassion for the cows, for the animals, but for your husband and wife, forget about that one. Impossible. So I'll explain what I meant by the Krishna unconsciousness movement. Okay? We're all members of the Krishna unconsciousness movement because we're very much into rituals. You know, we do what we do. We chant our rounds. We chant the Guru Vashtika prayers. Some of you call it the samsara prayers. The word samsara means material entanglement. Let's all chant the prayers for material entanglement right now. It's Guru Vashtika, not samsara. So when we're doing things, we're not thinking of why we're doing, what we're doing, even what we're doing. We're just thinking of the activity itself. And the problem with that is you're disconnected from the Krishna from Krishna consciousness. So I don't have time to go over this whole thing. It's a whole other seminar I gave on being connected to the holy name, connected to the prayers that we say. But suffice it to say that whenever we chant some mantra, especially the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we should have a why and an understanding what the mantra means. For example, if you're chanting the prayer before class, Jaya Radha Madhava, you should be thinking about Radha and Madhava, Kunji Bihari, in the bushes, and don't get too intimate. Because you're not on that level yet. Or maybe you are. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Janabalaba Giddhivada Hari, you know, the pleaser of the gopis, he's lifting Govardhan Hill. Such a nice thought to have in the mind while chanting. So what should you be thinking about when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra? Well, you can be praying. You should have some sankalpa, some intention. You know, so what I usually say is you should have a why. Why am I doing? What am I doing? When I'm doing it or before I'm doing it. That's enough about that because that's a whole other subject matter we don't have time for today. So, yesterday we talked about the process of empathic communication, which means understanding a person's needs, but, the process is observing something and what are your feelings. Actually, feelings are very important. I never really went over that yesterday. So most of us don't have a good vocabulary for feelings. We just feel what? I feel good, I feel bad, I feel sad, I feel mad. That's about it. So, isn't it? That's it. You know, if I ask you how you're feeling, okay, that's not even a feeling. So there's like millions and millions and millions of words for feelings, and feelings are different than judgments. Obviously, you don't say, I feel you are a rascal. That's not a feeling. Feelings come from the heart. They don't come from the brain. Try to remember that. Because this area of our body, especially as devotees, is not used very much. It's like become a little atrophied, you know, because we didn't use it very much. And usually the parts of the body that we use the most in the Krishna consciousness movement are the mouth. We put things in and we put things out. You know, that means speaking. And then the stomach. Mouth, stomach, and brain. But this section of the body, you know, you don't need it. It's superfluous. So it's much like that character in the Ramayana, because I know we're going to have a talk about the Ramayana today from Nityananda Prabhu. But there's this, one of my favorite characters in the Ramayana is not Ram and Lakshman, not even Ravan. It's Kubanda. He's a wonderful demon. Because he was smashed by the demigods when he was attacking the demigods. And he's a devotee. Because he's just a head with a mouth and a stomach. Everything combined together. So that's your ideal member of the Krishna consciousness movement. Unfortunately, he tried to eat Brahman Lakshman, so he wasn't a vegetarian. So we're vegetarian Kadambas. Kabandas. Yeah, not Kadambas. Kabandas. Okay, that's our particular position. So we want to do some exercises today, have some fun, because we don't have a tremendous amount of time. So I wanted to find out what you all wanted to deal with. We can deal with the, you know, needs and stuff like that, or we can start talking about how to take care of children in the Krishna consciousness movement. Let's take a poll. Who wants to just go over the basic process again, you know, needs and do exercise? It's all going to be exercises today, basically. Raise your hand if you just want to go over the basic process. And if you want to start talking about how to take care of children or be a child. Actually, in the Bible it says if one wants to go back to Godhead, one has to become like a child, right? So maybe we'll start talking about children, how to take care of children, because this is really, I think, a lot of children or wish you were children. Or will be children in your next lives. So, well, obviously, if we're not going back to Godhead, we're going to be children. And everyone in the spiritual world is a child, basically, except, you know, Mother Yashoda and some of the older people. But the majority are children. You know, the coward boys, gopis, you know, they're all young. So let's get prepared. So there's been an intensive academic study done of millions and millions of people, and it turns out that 87% of adults were previously children. Did I get that statistic wrong? Yeah, I guess I did. So, in our culture, and I'm talking about the culture that most of you have brought up with, we have different methods of getting children to do what we want. And these are bullying. You know, you got to do what I want or else. You know, no one likes to get bullied. Just like at school, if your child comes back and says they were bullies, they were beating me up. Well, that's what they get at home, too. So. Because nowadays, of course, the kids, they know how to call 911. So there's reverse bullying. Isn't it? The children say, unless you do what I say, I'm calling 911 and reporting you. So that happens too. So that's the general method we deal with children, isn't it? So let's do an exercise right now before we get into the methods of training children up to be like good animals. So, do you like it? Want to be trained? So like they train the oxen, you have a little stick, you hit the stick, and then tell the children, actually there's two commands for the oxen, gi and haw, means go right or go left. Would any of the children like to be treated like that? No. Okay, because everyone has a need for what? What is the big need we were talking about yesterday? Autonomy, making your own decisions, and if people don't make their own decisions, here's some statistics that the children who don't make their own decisions in life or are forced to do certain things, their higher percentage, I don't have the percentage right here, but there's a higher percentage of overeating, a higher percentage of juvenile delinquency and all those other nice things. So, okay. So we like to split into twos, and those of you, I guess some, most of you are parents, explain, or even if you're not parents, even if you're a child, okay, explain, is going to do this in, let's say 5 minutes, 2.5 minutes for each person. Explain what you want your children to be like or be when they grow up. And if you don't have children, if you had children, what would you like them to be like or be? Okay, so we're going to split into twos. Look at the person next to you. Okay, you turn it off. The upper one, yeah. We're talking about long-term goals. Long-term goals.
My respects.
Oh, good.
I've been here for the ceremony.
Yeah, sorry. Yes. You give us a second.
It's empathic communication in Ramayana.
Is it a skit or?
No, no. It's a particular verse from Lord Ram is based on Lakshmana. And that's what was asked to me. Lakshmana is very, very angry. Very different verse. Very much in line with what we are reading here. Very much in line. Lord Ram says, you should let go of three things and hold on to three things. One is kind of loving taking, in the sense of being in comfort. When you hold on to sobriety and own being yourself, I'm going to use the four D's that block compassion.
Oh, good.
Fantastic.
I'll look forward. I'll watch it. Good to see you. Good to see you.
I don't know if I can come to the project. There's too many things to do. Did you know enough?
You were an amazing presenter. Just the way you engage the crowd is just amazing. I really like the realism of it.
Thank you very much.
Please give me your blessings. Yes, big shoes to fill right after you.
You'll feel great. Okay. That's pretty good. All right. Does anyone want to share what long term you would like your children to be? What's that? Happy? Okay. Anyone else? Quick. Yeah.
So me and Ankita discussed Maharaj. So we have three goals. Yes, I want my children to be happy, but the three goals are, I want them to be confident, to be introspective, and to be independent.
How do you all? Great. Fulfilling all their needs. Yes. You have it? Oh, anyone else want to share? You get the microphone, yeah.
What will you do with that information? I'd like to see my children become trustworthy individuals and also have, and gradually perhaps lose hope of trying to be happy in material life.
Okay, good. Yeah. Got a lot of parents here. Because you're in front of the deities, you get your wishes fulfilled.
Hare Krishna, I want my son to just read the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita because I think that is going to equip him to handle all situations. And also, since we are all born in this material world, we can't control everything. At least he has the knowledge of what needs to be done and how it needs to be controlled.
Great. Very good. Next.
We said that our future children, we want them to be generous and like give back to the community.
Very good. Okay.
I'd like my children to learn to be independently thoughtful and empathic.
Good. Independent, thoughtful, and empathic. These are all very good. One or two more. Anybody else? Oh, right there. Quick. Microphone.
I want my children to be grateful for what they have received in their childhood and exhibit their gratefulness and give with gratitude to the society and community, whatever they have received, and be kind to the society.
Very nice. Okay, right behind me. Yeah.
Me and Atulya Mataji were discussing, and I really liked what she said was she wants her children to be able to express themselves in all situations of what's in their heart. And that trust factor should be there so they don't feel that they can express. The other was, of course, the career choice. And then the one thing from me was I really want them, along with career, to have Krishna in their life. I'm not looking at they should have Krishna as they should be initiated and be pujaris or anything, but they should at least make some of their decisions thinking of what will please Krishna. And that way they will be able to make the right choices as they move forward.
Good. Okay, let's go. Since we have limited time, we'll just go on to the next thing. So we're going to do another exercise on how you deal with children now that you don't want to continue doing. And this is an exercise I demonstrated to you, but I want you all to experience this yourselves. The exercise is that you're going to be in twos again, and you're going to switch off in the middle of it. One of you is going to be on the floor. You know, completely on the floor, and the other one is going to be standing up like this. And you're going to be telling the person on the floor to go to his or her room. And the person on the floor is going to be saying no. As long as the person on the floor can keep saying no, because you're going to escalate. In other words, you're going to keep saying, go to your room, no. Go to your room, no. Go, if you don't go to your room, I'm going to kill you. Oh my God. I mean, how many of you as children, just being honest, have experienced it when your mother or father punished you, they said to you, I'm doing this because I love you? Raise your hand. Wow, the majority of people in the room are equating love with a spanking or whatever other punishment you're getting. So, yeah, I had the same experience, and I would tell my mother, please don't love me so much. Or another thing I said, if this is love, I don't want to see what hate is. So we're going to break up into two. This is a little longer exercise. It's about a 10-minute exercise. And in other words, you don't have a chair to sit. When I exhibited this to you last time, I stood on a chair and the poor kid was on the floor. And it was very traumatic for the devotee. who hasn't come back. What? Oh, there you are. Have you seen a psychiatrist in the last year? So this is the sort of discipline that we're accustomed to giving and as children receiving, as you all pointed out. One question I have is, would you appreciate your husband or wife dealing with you like that? Raise your hand if you would like your husband or wife to deal with you in the same way. Oh, she raised her hand. Very good. You're a perfect wife. Just like, you know, men have this idea that a perfect wife keeps her mouth shut, rolls perfect rotis, never argue, that's a perfect wife. And a perfect husband is someone who's always kind, lets you buy whatever you want. Right? That's a perfect husband. And he listens to you 24 hours a day. And then a perfect child's a child that never cries. You know, just like, if you're in a room with some children, and the children don't cry, you say to the parents, what nice kids you have. Maybe the kid's dead. You know, so our version of nice is someone who doesn't bother me, right? Sometimes I'm in an airplane and you get a kid right next to you crying as the plane takes off and the plane lands, and I'm just thinking, what a lousy brat. It's probably a good kid. If I'm sitting next to the mother, I have to hold the kid while the mother changes the diapers. That's the danger of flying as a sannyasi. Especially when you get bulkhead seating, it's like that. So, joking aside, we're going to do this exercise, and it's really interesting, and we'll get some feedback, how you feel, and really that's what the child's experiencing. It's a power over relationship than a power with. A power with relationship is when you sit down with the child and you discuss, you take time. It takes more time. I mean, it's easier just to tell people what they should do, and if they don't do it, this is going to happen to them. That's easy stuff. Just takes 2 seconds. Like, I'm your boss, I'm your mother, I'm your father. That's it. You know, very easy. It's like in the workplace. I'm your boss. You should do this. And if you don't do this, you're going to get fired. I'm sure many of you men have experienced, and maybe some of you ladies have experienced that. So it's a horrible dynamic. We want to do things from the heart. So it means taking time, sitting with the children, and talking about the needs. And another thing, oh yeah, this is really important. This was pointed out to me this morning. One devotee had heard this and studied this philosophy, you know, empathic communication, and they inadvertently started using needs to demand things from people. I need you to behave yourself. I need you to do what I want. But needs are, I'm responsible for my, remember, I'm responsible for fulfilling my needs. Needs are never focused on another person, except in the case of parents, that I need my children to be happy or I need my children to be well. That's a different thing. But I should think that I don't need anyone to do anything for me. And if they do something, I'm very grateful. If you have these expectations, this implicit demand, which you may call a need, sometimes you call demands needs. I need you to do this. I need you to clean your room. You know, then you have an expectation, it's a demand, and then you get angry if they don't do it. But if you don't have that expectation, and they clean their room anyway, phew. Like, for example, when I was staying in Seattle, Vajrabhakti, I cleaned my own room. How did you feel about that? Oh, she thought I was sleeping on the floor. I was sleeping on the bed, and the bed was completely made, and she thought, oh my God. But she was very happy. Oh, you got a chance. I served her by cleaning my room. I'm just joking. Okay, so why don't we do this exercise? Divide into twos, and remember, the person has to go to his room, and the person who's supposed to go to his room doesn't want to go to his room, and he may eventually go to his room because you're screaming at him enough. Don't scream too loud because we got a lot of people in the room. Okay, start now. Hare Krishna. You could film this. It's really funny. Why don't you turn it on and go around and film different people. When you turn it on, just flick it. It's on now. When you just flick it, don't hold the button down. That's what was the problem. How do you feel?
Intimidated.
Intimidated. Good. You can switch. And you can switch sides. After you've done one person, the next person becomes the adult, and the next person becomes a child. Okay, I think we're finished. Does anyone want to share how you felt? Any people who took the position of a child want to share how you felt as a child? Okay. Alrighty.
I was curious as to what she'll come up with. So I was like, okay, bring on the next one, you know? So it's just that.
That's good. Let me explain what happened there. There's two responses children can have, or adults can have, when they're told to do something. One response is submit. Okay? And the other response is what? Rebel. Do the opposite. Now, going back to my childhood, because I always make references to that, my mother was very, she was nice. But she was very she was very domineering. So I had a brother. I have a brother. The reason I said I had a brother is that he didn't join the Hare Krishna movement. You know, I told him, please take some prasadam, and he said, after seeing what it did to you, I'm not going to eat any of that. I have a brother, and my mother was very, very much controlling. So I became a rebel. In fact, so much a rebel that I would always try to play tricks on my mother. And some of the tricks, children don't listen, if there are any children here. Some of the tricks were like I would put a cup of water on top of the door. So when she opened the door, it would fall on her. And other tricks were like, I got these rubber spiders, and I put them in her bed. Because it gave me great joy to do those things. And are there any children who take joy in doing things like that in the room? Oh, they just got hit by their mother. Mother went, whack. No, not really. So, on the other hand, my brother became completely submissive, and he is doing the exact opposite occupation as myself. Like, I'm a sannyasi, so sannyasis have the benefit of going to people's homes, and sometimes they wash your feet and everything like that. My brother goes to other people's homes, and he washes their feet. He's a podiatrist. Podiatrist is a foot doctor, for those of you who don't know that language. So I was able to join the Krishna consciousness movement because I was able to rebel when my mother didn't want me to join. So there's a benefit to being rebellious. It's not always good. Like, if you're a devotee and you have children and they wouldn't rebel, they'll... What? Is it possible what? Yes, husbands can rebel, and wives can rebel. So we don't want children to become, well, I hate to use the designation, but we don't want the children to do things that are counterproductive to their spiritual life. Jai, Shri Shri Radha Damodar Ki Jai. So, now I want to do another exercise involve all of you. Actually, maybe we can share some more. Actually, we should share some more. Anyone else want to share what they experienced being a child?
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. So, yeah, as a child, I felt like my mother was very bossy, and whatever arguments I was doing, she was just trying to overcome, and she still wanted me to do the same what she wants to do. So, yeah.
Did you want to do what she wanted you to do?
No, I didn't have any arguments because she was just overcoming all the arguments what I was doing. So I was feeling like she's very bossy, you know, like bossing around and helpless. I was helpless.
Is that the sort of relationship you want to have with a mother? You want your children to have with you?
Not exactly.
Think probably not. Yes, we have.
I felt like an object versus a person.
You felt like an object rather than a person. Very good. Very good. Because we want to be treated as persons. One or two more, and then we'll take another survey.
I have gotten a very empathetic mom, Maharaj, in this exercise. In spite of that, the difference, even though she was connecting to the needs and explaining, I was resisting, I don't want to go now, I want half an hour, 1 hour, whatever. Still, that distance actually made me feel like it's, even though I was resisting, it's kind of hopeless or no choice. I have to just do whatever she's doing with this distance.
She was empathic, so you felt good about listening to her?
Even though she's communicating in an empathic way, but this distance and the way she was telling, I had to do that. That's the feeling.
Okay. Yeah, so if the mother is empathic, then the child feels protected by that difference. Because remember, it's like having a big Rakshasa talking down to you. And if the Rakshasa says, I'm going to protect you and love you, that's pretty good. So, just one more and then we can get on to the next exercise. Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I played the part of a child. I felt so playful in being rebellious and seeing the parent as helpless situation, I felt even more playful.
That's good.
I don't know whether it's a demonic nature or not, but I'm just telling my experience.
Very good. That's very good. Okay, so I want to do a survey now. There's one word in our interpersonal relationships that we use all the time, and I'm going to note down that the responses I get. So there's this word called love. Can anyone give me a definition of that word? Yeah. Where is your mother? We'll have a discussion after the ceremony. Unconditional surrender. Okay, I mean it's honest. So
it's a shelter. I can say it's a shelter, and it behaves differently based upon the relationship you have, mother and son, and then like husband and wife, mm-hmm. and friend, and there's multiple relationships, so the love varies, depends upon the relationship too.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Shelter. So we're looking for some common denominator for all situations, whether it's mother, daughter, husband, wife, friend and friend, brother, sister, that we could actually call love. Because it's a need. This is a need. Okay, well-wisher.
A genuine affection.
Affection, caring.
Acceptance.
Interesting.
Trusting.
Any other ones?
Attention.
What?
Attention.
Attention.
Freedom.
What else?
Freedom.
Appreciation.
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Yeah. What? Intense emotion.
Reciprocation. Joy. Happiness.
Joy, happiness, wow. Connection with heart.
Peace.
Do you have some relationship problems? Peace. You know, if you love me, you'll shut your mouth and be peaceful. What's that?
Understanding.
What are feelings?
Feelings,
okay. Okay, one or two more.
Acceptance.
Serving
someone, doing without expecting anything from them.
Good. Unconditional. Okay. These are all good, except for the unconditional surrender. Anyway.
Yeah.
But no, that's good too. It's good too. And it, even the interesting thing is, even when we hear things that may block communication to judgment, we talk about diagnosis or something like that, that's good because it teaches us about the need. If someone says, you are a rascal, then that expression can be transformed or understood to help you and the person understand the need behind that. So we, nothing is bad in that particular regard. So really, all these things are pointing out to something about love, which is like unconditional, let's not use the word surrender. Unconditional acceptance. Some of you said that. Unconditional acceptance of someone that, with no expectation. Good. Well, that's a negative definition, but it's still applicable. So that is Krishna's attitude towards us. Krishna loves us even if we act like a demon. Even if he kills us. In the Vaishnava literature, the Vedic literature, the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the question is raised, why does Krishna teach or treat the demons and devotees unequally? And then it's described in that canto, in the discussion between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj, and also between Yudhisthira and Narada Muni, how Krishna treats everyone equally. Krishna says, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Namedeshu Stinapriha. So this is the relationship or type of relationship we are hankering for and everyone needs. And especially talking about children, they need that acceptance under any circumstance. Unconditional acceptance. Yeah, unacceptable. So, unconditional acceptance, and then they'll feel fulfilled. So that is the relationship a parent should be having with the child, or the guru should be having with the disciple. For example, I mean, I've experienced sometimes, this is my own personal realization or experience, is that sometimes a disciple will do some really horrendous thing. And it goes on the internet. And someone writes you, your disciple did blank, blank, blank. Of course, my first response is, oh my God. Maybe I should retire to Govardhan. That's my first response. But the second response is, you know, what can I do? You know, I still have to love that disciple and try to help them become Krishna conscious, no matter what they do. And you see that with Prabhupada, when someone left the movement and came back, Prabhupada cried and gladly accepted him back. Krishna, when Gopakumara finally went back to God, this is in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, then Krishna started crying and embraced him and actually went unconscious. So this is the sort of relationship that we should be having amongst each other. Not demanding anything, not expecting anything, but just really having love for all, in fact, all living entities. And if we do this, as Prabhupada mentioned in the first quote that I gave today, if we do this, then we will actually become Krishna conscious. Because we will see everyone connected to Krishna. We do this through Yastu Sarvani Bhutani Admane Bhana Pashati. That is, seeing everyone as part and parcel of Krishna. Okay? So, we have 7 minutes left to this morning's session. Instead of doing another exercise, I can take questions. If you all, any of you have questions, yes. And then we have another session tonight, I believe it's 6:30? And there'll be more exercises, dramas, skits, and everything like that. And tomorrow morning we're going to have more questions and answers at 11, I think it's 11:30 or something in the morning.
Thank you, Maharaj. My question is, your thoughts on the system of education that we have in our institution, ISKCON. Sunday schools, Gurukula, and in terms, you know, we're dealing a lot with a culture, Indian culture, that is very obedient, and also with very strong family values. So in general, how we can deal with not the bully or the coercion that we find in the West, but rather the almost like a emotional, you know, bullying in one sense, that, you know, because there's the love, there's the response that we have in terms of being accepted and being, you know, love. If we do the right thing, then we obediently do. So, but at the end, maybe it's still coercion. So how, and this whole thing is built within our educational system. You know, so how we deal with that, or what is your thoughts on that?
You're talking about the ISKCON educational system?
Yes, and also we can see it that in one sense is the educational system.
In general.
In general, it's like that too.
Based on, you know, rewards or punishments.
Yes.
You know, you do well. Well, talking about, you mentioned first Indian culture. Okay, I think I should address that point. That many, or actually the children that you have here, are what we call ABCDs. You parents, you look at your children and think, you know, they're Indian. And the children are thinking, what the? You know, we're Americans. Yeah, ABCD, in case you don't know what that is, an American, American-born confused Deshi. Confused devotee, too. So, I think it's important that the parents, you mentioned the Indian culture, understand their children don't think the same way they do. They have a different type of association. They're used to more freedom, and basically they need a different type of interaction with the parents. So that's the first thing. As far as the other aspects of the culture in general, where people are rewarded or punished for doing well or not doing well in school, which is the other question you asked, the children should be presented with the, with their long-term vision. Like, what do you want to do? It's not bad to have A's, B's, and C's, and D's in school. But, in other words, what do you want to do with your life? Where do you want to be in 50 years, or 20 years, or 10 years from now? And based on that, here is a strategy. So in other words, as long as they're choosing to embrace or accept that particular strategy, if it's explained properly with them, they most likely will accept it. Then it's no longer uncompassionate. Does that make sense? Because they're choosing. Here you are in a situation, because all of us are in particular situations where we have limitations. We can't do anything we want to do anytime we want to do. There's society limitations. For example, you drive a car, and if you drive too fast, guess what happens? You get a ticket. So I would like to express my autonomy by driving very fast. I did that sometimes, and I got a ticket. I was driving 90 miles an hour through a national park one time, thinking that there were no police there. And I got caught. And I told the park ranger, I said, I thought there were no police here. That was my excuse. And because it was America, I couldn't bribe him. So we realize that we're working within certain limitations, and we're choosing, rephrasing in our mind, choosing, and the children can do that too as they're going to school, because I have certain objectives in life. I want to become a doctor. All you parents will love that. I want to become an engineer. What else do your parents want? A lawyer. What else? A dentist. Nobody likes dentists. But it has to come from them. Not that you should become a doctor. Why? To make me proud of you. Otherwise, you are not my son. My daughter could never get less than a B. What does a child hear when the parents say that? Yeah, I don't love you. I reject you. You're not my daughter. That's what children hear. My son could never get less. My mother did that. My son could never get less than a B, so I discovered invisible ink. You know what that is? Change the report card. Oh, here, Mom, sign it. It's an A. Oh, great, great. Okay, and then it disappeared, went back to a D. So that's rejection. So let the children figure out what they want to do, but facilitate. Like I mentioned many times before, that we as authorities or older people, whatever, are facilitators, loving facilitators. And we will love the people we're taking care of regardless of what they do. We may not agree. We can, as they say, hate the sin, not the sinner. We could say, I disagree with what you're doing. I don't approve of it, but I'm not rejecting you. I will always be your well-wisher. And if we can learn that simple language or simple type of thought pattern, the relationships will be so deep that probably you won't have a problem with people doing things that go against their particular needs or your particular needs for them. So remember that. Important for children. So it is 11:45, and according to my boss, I want to hear what Nityananda Pran is going to tell us about with the Ramayan and empathic communication. We're having another session tonight, and more questions and answers tomorrow. Okay, thank you very much. And also there's books. Anyone who wants a copy of the book, Empathic Communication, then Leela Shakti there has a whole pile of books that are available. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.